All right, folks. Well, an exciting show, as you just heard in our quick hit headliners. So much to talk about, so little time. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Folks, again, our phone lines are now open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can call in and share your thoughts on anything we talk about. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. We have Aaron Young subbing in for Alex Sharg behind the glass. Is Alex's man, Aaron, he's probably out and about with his toes in the sand out in beautiful Los Angeles, California right now on vacation. Alex does a great job. Hopefully he deserves a rest. He definitely deserves a rest. So Aaron will be rocking out with me today and talking about everything that's happening in the world of sports. Again, so much to talk about, folks. And I guess we can start today's show by, of course, talking about the big news when it comes to Big Ten football, folks. Braxton Miller. As you just heard, Braxton Miller, the starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Boy, I tell you what, all of the information is still being put together to see exactly how severe this injury is. But right now, we do know there is one. Again, Braxton Miller, he seems as though he has re-injured his throwing shoulder during practice. Of course, he had this nagging injury last year, and now it seems to have re-emerged. Boy, oh boy, and I tell you what, looking at the breaking news of this story, many people already dropping Ohio State now as the favorite to come out of the Big Ten, ladies and gents. I mean, it's unbelievable now. And I think, you know, I definitely see where that mindset is coming from. I mean, you have Braxton Miller, who, again, I mean, he's won, you know, Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year two times. I mean, he's certainly a force to be reckoned with. He's unbelievably athletic. He puts unbelievable zip on the ball. He can make plays on the ground. And he's just entertaining to watch. I mean, he is the household name for the Ohio State Buckeyes when you talk about college football. And now having him hurt now, I mean, it automatically just drops Ohio State out of course, being the Big Ten favorite now. They were in the Britain. If you look at the AP poll, or the preseason coaches poll, I should say, Ohio State is ranked sixth. Right above MSU, who MSU, of course, is ranked eighth. This is their highest rating since the preseason coaches poll was enacted back in 1991. And many people, again, feeling as though Ohio State will come out of the Big Ten and win the Big Ten championship. Of course, Ohio State and Michigan State are both in that Big Ten East region. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all pans out now. And for Ohio State fans out there, you no longer have a Kenny Guyton, who, again, arguably was the best backup in the world of college football for, you know, at least the last 2 years. I mean, looking at Kenny Guyton last year, I mean, Kenny was so good. You know, if Braxton came out and seemed a little, you know, beat up and baggered, I mean, Kenny Guyton would come in and it seemed as though the offense never missed a beat. But he's no longer at OSU. If you look at Kenny Guyton now, he is playing in the Arena Football League for the L.A. Kiss. How about that? That's a pretty cool name, the L.A. Kiss, folks. So, you know, you have arguably the best QB, best backup QB, I should say, in the nation. For the last 2 years, he's gone. He's in the Arena League now. And, you know, we all know that, you know, Braxton Miller having this nagging shoulder injury that has really been plaguing him for the last 2 years now, you know, there was a possibility that it could get re-injured. We saw the quotes and we saw the reports on the brink of this season saying that, hey, he is 100% and that he would be ready to go. But now having this news where, you know, just on a freak accident, he was not tackled in practice. He was not involved in any type of physical confrontation to cause this injury. He just happened to be making a routine throw and boom, this injury takes place. So, again, we don't know to the extent as of yet whether he'll miss the entire season. But right now, it is not looking good. It looks as though he's going to miss some time. So looking at who they have for backup now, you look at a sophomore in Cardale Jones and redshirt freshman JT Barnett. Those are the two guys that are vying now for, you know, that upcoming role to replace Braxton Miller. Now, it looks as though JT Barrett has moved up ahead of Jones, Cardale Jones, again, who is a sophomore. And it looks as though JT will possibly, most likely, probably be your starter for Ohio State. Come on the brink of that that starting game at the end of the season. At the end of this month, I should say. Now, you know, if you look at JT, he does not have great arm strength, but he can throw an accurate ball. He makes good decisions, has quality leadership abilities. That's the scouting report on JT. Now, it's going to be really interesting to see how this pans out now. And if you are an MSU fan, if you are a Michigan State fan, you have to be smirking just a little bit. Just a little bit, folks, because looking at it, again, everybody, I mean, across the nation, across the board, just about everybody, I should say, had Ohio State as the favorite. Coming out of the Big Ten, you know, the hype machine around Ohio State was certainly in full effect. But now, when you have a guy like Braxton Miller, who is your star guy, he is that offense, when you have him go out, it now brings about a lot of doubt because you don't have that Kenny Guyton to come in and to run the offense. Again, if they had Kenny Guyton, I think they would still be probably the favorite in many people's eyes. But you don't. You have two young guys in Cardale Jones and JT Barrett who we haven't had much playing time, if any at all. They have to come in now, and a lot of pressure and a lot of spotlight are automatically on them, specifically JT Barrett, who looks as though he's going to be the starter to start the season. So, and looking at, you know, the prediction machine, I don't know how many of you guys out there are big on this, but predictionmachine.com, they always run different simulation analysis on what they think are going to happen based on stats in the past. And it's a very, very popular website, but they have run a simulation analysis, I should say, for USA Today Sports. And they kind of break down the potential impact of a Miller injury on the Buckeyes' fortunes this upcoming year. Now, the prediction machine projects that a healthy Braxton Miller would lead to an Ohio State season of 10 regular season wins and score about 44.1 points per game against an average FBS team. Now, the Buckeyes will most likely be a Big Ten champion and earn the fourth seed in the college football playoff. So that's what prediction machine, based on past numbers and upcoming, season predictions, that's where they put Ohio State. They believe that they possibly will be in the college football playoff and win about 10 regular season wins. Now, with a backup in place, Prediction Machine says that Ohio State's scoring average would slip to 33.6, and its win total would slide to 9.1, with the Buckeyes finishing second behind no other than Sparty, yes, Michigan State, in the Big Ten East standings. Now, again, this is just a silly website, that they do for fun. They base it off past numbers in the season and based off overall overturn for this upcoming year. So you can't put too much weight into it. But it just shows you the general mindset that a Braxton Miller, certainly a healthy Braxton Miller, certainly brings to the table for Ohio State. He is the guy. He is the man. And now that he's out, boy, oh boy, I don't know if you can count on it or be as confident in an Ohio State now winning the Big Ten championship. So it's really interesting stuff. You look at the Ohio State schedule right now. They start off with Navy. They then go to Virginia Tech, play Kent State, then Cincinnati, and then face Maryland before homecoming. So I tell you what, it's going to be really interesting to see how JT now steps into this role. Wish him all the luck in the world, I guess. But, you know, looking at this whole, you know, just even that beginning part of the season, it doesn't look well for Ohio State not having Braxton Miller in there. So I tell you what, if Braxton Miller has to miss this entire year, I think I may go ahead and say that it's bye-bye OSU. I don't think they're winning. They cannot win a Big Ten championship or come close to winning one without Braxton Miller behind center. He's the more experienced guy. He knows the playbook left and right. He is a playmaker who can he makes plays on the ground and through the air. I mean, he's exciting to watch. I remember being out at the Big Ten championship last year down in Indy with Alex and watching Braxton Miller just put together just an unbelievable body of work going against the best defense in the nation. I mean, he made some plays. He made some jaw-dropping plays. But again, in the end, of course, that MSU defense certainly stifling him and coming through with the win. But man, he showed that he is that offense. He is the guy who drives that car. And with him out, I mean, it's certainly going to be a tough hurdle to overcome. So I want to get your thoughts on this. How do you think Braxton Miller, now being injured and possibly missing this entire season, how do you think this will affect the rest of the Big Ten Eastern Conference and the rest of the Big Ten in general, specifically Michigan State University and their hopes of winning another Big Ten championship? So, again, you can call in at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, and we will chat it up. Again, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. And also, some big news concerning college football in the Big Ten. When it concerns a local team around here in Michigan, not Michigan State, but Michigan. They, as you just heard in our headliners, they have decided to part ways with Cassante York. And, of course, we had a big discussion on this last week after seeing just the ridiculous, just appalling video. Again, Cassante York caught on camera throwing a punch, just straight up cold cocking a man outside of a bar. And then running off. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It really upsetting video. There really seemed to be no confrontation. Well, there was a confrontation, a verbal confrontation taking place, but you know, nobody throwing any punches. And then all of a sudden, you see Cassante York just wind up and catch this guy totally off guard and lays him out. All caught on camera. So you know, Alex and I kind of debated back and forth what we thought would and should happen to Cassante York, and I definitely thought he would be suspended for this season. I think Alex went a step further and said that he wouldn't be surprised if he would be dismissed from the program, and that's exactly what has happened. Last night it came to light, and Michigan released that Brady Hoke has dismissed wide receiver Cassante York from the program. So, again, you know, it's caught, you know, playing on tape, and the proof is certainly in the video. And, you know, I really liked how Brady Hoke put this whole explanation, I should say, as to why Cassante York has been dismissed. And he had a pretty interesting quote here. Quote, Cassante York has been dismissed from the Michigan football program. Representing the University of Michigan is a privilege. And while second chances are certainly deserved, sometimes it's better for everyone if that happens somewhere else. Overall, I have been proud of how responsible our team has been in this offseason and how hard they've worked to prepare for the season, end quote. So I thought, you know, really looking at that quote, Hoke saying specifically that, you know, of course, representing the University of Michigan is a privilege. And while second chances are certainly deserved, sometimes it's better for everyone if that happens somewhere else. I certainly agree with that. I think the way Brady Hoke, the way he put that together, saying second chances are certainly deserved, because I believe in that too. When this happened, I said that Cassante York definitely deserves a second chance here. He's a young kid who definitely made a stupid, stupid, stupid decision, without a doubt. But I do believe in second chances. And when you play for one of the most storied college football programs out there, you have to be mindful of everything you do off the field as well as on it. And, you know, there's many athletes out there, college and pro, you know, even at the little league level, they just don't understand that. And this was a perfect example of that. Again, Cassante York certainly definitely deserves a second chance in life. I mean, he's a young kid. He's definitely looking at the situation and regretting that it even took place. But it's a wake-up call, and for a guy like Brady Hoke, who's already on the hot seat now, I definitely believe that Brady Hoke, I mean, looking at these past 2 years specifically for Brady Hoke, if he doesn't perform this season on the gridiron, he's on the hot seat and he may be let go. He wants no distractions, and this certainly was an unneeded distraction for him and this team. And, you know, I think this certainly serves as a wake-up call for everyone else on that team to realize that, hey, if you screw up and make a bad decision off the field, it could hinder your college football career as a Wolverine greatly. And I think this was the right decision in this, and I think it sends a great message. And if you look at this though, it really you can I always have this debate. It's an interesting debate when breaking down an incident like this, where you have an incident like this that happened to Cassante York off the field. You can debate whether or not if this happened to be another player. Let's say this was a Devin Gardner or a Devin Funchess. Let's say this incident took place with them. What type of punishment will be handed down? There would be a punishment handed down without a doubt, but how severe would it be? Would they be dismissed from the University of Michigan football team? You know, because these are guys that are playmakers. These are guys that are, you know, you're talking about the starting quarterback or the starting running back for the team. I mean, if you look at Cassante York, you know, you're not losing much, honestly, to be completely honest with you. I mean, if you look at last year, you know, his freshman year, he appeared in only one game. Just in one game. So you're not losing much in this, and you can afford to let him go, you know, to cut ties with him and, you know, to wish him well on his future endeavors in the game. It just won't be with your program. And again, you're not losing much. It's not like you're letting go your starting QB here or your starting running back or a vital man on the defense or a wide receiver. You know, you're not losing much here. So, you know, cutting ties with him seemed, in many regards, just inevitable. So, it's an interesting situation. Again, you know, I come in contact, and you know, me being in this industry, I come in contact and interview and talk to so many college athletes, and you know, and pro just the same. And many of them, especially, you know, many of the guys who are over them, the head coaches, the mentors, the assistant coaches, they stress so much how you have to make sure that you carry a certain responsibility to represent your team very, very well in a positive light off the field or off the court just as much as on it. And that's, you know, that's something that is very, very well stressed here from coaches like Mark D'Antonio to Tom Izzo, even Brady Hoke at Michigan. And this certainly sends a message that it will not be tolerated. So interesting stuff. I think Brady Hoke made definitely the right move when it's all said and done with this one. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Facebook is also, I'm looking at our Facebook page right now. If you got any comments that you would like to weigh in on the show, 517-355-9527. And the Facebook, that Facebook URL is facebook.com/currentsports, and also Twitter at AlMartinWKAR. And how about Andre Drummond possibly missing the USA team? How about that? You know, it's so interesting because looking at that game Saturday, I've been kind of, you know, you guys know I'm an NBA junkie and I'm a basketball, you know, hoop freak. I'm always watching some sort of hoops, no matter what time of the year it is. And the fact that, of course, the World Championship games for FIBA will be taking place in pretty soon, I've been following this Team USA very, very closely. Especially, you know, I'm a big Pistons guy too, and Andre Drummond possibly having a chance to make this team. It looks as though those hopes may be going down the tubes, which is very surprising for me because if you look at, you know, a guy like Paul George who had that horrific injury on the fast break, who is certainly suddenly cut from the roster. And then you had, you know, Kevin Durant, a household name in hoops. He feels as though he's going through some mental fatigue and needs to take a step back to just kind of kick back, max, and relax a little bit. So looking at those two, you know, certainly guys who are going to make Team USA who are now cut, it certainly opened the window and the gap for Andre Drummond to make this team. But it doesn't look like that will be happening. And now again, this is, you know, Vince Ellis, who of course we've had him on the show before and has been covering the Pistons for quite some time. He's a beat writer for the Detroit Pistons. He believes right now that it looks as though Drummond may be cut from this team. And also, looking at a guy like Mark Stein, who is an ESPN reporter who has been following Team USA on their journey to start the season, Drummond, he's saying that Drummond is the 15th man on this roster. Again, Andre Drummond did not play at all on Saturday against Brazil. A guy like Mason Plumlee, who, of course, is very, very close to Coach K and Duke, you know, he seemed to get a lot of playing time. He was 3-for-3, very efficient when he was in. You know, Anthony Davis is also on that roster. Looking at the big man here, you got Mason Plumlee, Anthony Davis, who they're not cutting Anthony Davis. He's had one heck of a NBA career so far and has been producing very consistently throughout these exhibition games with Team USA. They're not cutting him. And DeMarcus Cousins, we all know the hoopla that surrounds him, being injured in practice not too long ago. And, you know, seems to be getting healthy, and it seems as though Coach K wants him on this team. So Plumlee, Davis, and Cousins seem to be locks as far as that big man position is, and Drummond seems to be the odd man out. So, you know, and the proof is in the minutes. Again, he didn't play 1 minute, not 1 minute on Saturday, And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate because this could, for me, just looking at my overall perception here, Drummond being on this USA team, I mean, it could be, you know, it could bode well for the exposure for the Pistons, who definitely need it. I mean, for people don't even, I mean, right now, I don't know if, you know, the casual NBA fan can even name, you know, five, you know, players, let alone three players on the Pistons roster right now. So on, you know, Drummond being on that national team, being on Team USA definitely provides a lot of exposure for the Pistons. That certainly, I think, is needed right now. And in today's NBA, I just feel as though it's so guard heavy. There's so many guards on Team USA right now. They are certainly guard heavy that, you know, big men are certainly cherished. And I just think Andre Drummond just did not prove himself in the span of time that he had to prove himself in. So Mason Plumlee, though, you know, Coach K has certainly a very extensive rapport with him, seeing as though, you know, he used to play for Duke under Coach K. And Davis and Cousins just seem as though they're not getting cut. So, you know, it just seems as though Drummond is the odd man out here. It's, you know, it's a little disheartening because I definitely wanted to see him on that roster. But, you know, that's how cutthroat the game is sometimes. So I believe we have a caller right now. Apache is on line one. Apache, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right, man. How you guys doing?
Very well.
Good. About the athlete that got dismissed from the Michigan team.
Yeah.
First of all, I think it's unfortunate, you know. But one of the qualities that these athletes bring to the game is they come from a fight culture. Okay, I mean, you live in poverty, and everybody's upset. You're in a culture where there's a lot of hostility, confrontation, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But that's a dimension that actually contributes to their greatness, in my opinion. And I understand the discipline and being aware of where you're at and avoiding those situations and so forth.
Right.
It's just unfortunate. You know, this guy probably had his heart set on making a team and doing all these different things. I mean, it's painful, man. What do you do? I hope they find him a team that will accept him or help him rebuild his life.
Right.
But the other thing is, as far as the Michigan coach dismissing him, was he a sacrificial lamb? Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that was Gardner, would he have dismissed them? I don't know. That's a good question, but we would never know until that actually happened.
Right.
You know, I see the Alabama coach doing a bunch of PR with his, you know, when they had the, and I think it's PR, when they had the tornado damage and all that stuff. He had his team out there, and that's good looking PR. And then they had the beating of that girl, and he went and got a counselor for domestic abuse and so forth.
Yeah,
you know, we had some police brutality, and I don't see him getting counselors for police brutality and how young men can deal with that. If you look at Bernard King, he went through police brutality when he was over there at I think it was Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
He got beat pretty bad, and he got abused pretty bad, and he ran into some situations that devastated him for life, and he talked about it. But anyway, what I respect about the Michigan coach, okay, because I started to lose my confidence in him, but the thing I respected was in the Ohio State game when he went for two instead of one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get the two, okay? So he could have played it safe and went in overtime, possibly won, but it wouldn't look good going in overtime. But the fact that he went for two showed me that he had some courage that I didn't see up until that point, and that's what's impressive to me. About that coach. So maybe he is for real. Maybe if that was Gardner, maybe he would have made that decision. You know, it's hard to tell because all those young men are valuable commodities, and they all affect everybody's careers. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's on the hot seat. And you remember a couple years ago when he got rid of that one receiver, he ran into some problems. I can't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, he was a great receiver, and
right.
They needed him. And he kicked him off the team. That hurt me. You know, I forget what the issue was. So I think coaches come across tough decisions. On the one hand, even though it's an assault or a double or triple assault, whatever, they're in a position to help these kids. You know, and I've seen Michigan State do that. I've seen Michigan State give coaches give them a chance and work with them and so forth and so forth.
Right.
And sometimes that's the best way to do it instead of saying, you know, I'm worried about my image. To hell with you.
Exactly.
You know? And
yeah.
And so it's a juggling act, man. It's a juggling act for everybody. And then at the same time, you keep him on the team, you're almost validating his behavior. I just heard this morning the guy from Texas A&M, the quarterback, and he's doing some nonsense again, and I see him getting away with all this stuff. And that can't help him, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That cannot help him. He got this bloated self-image of how great he is and all this other kind of stuff. Hasn't accomplished anything, and yet he gets away with all this nonsense, you know.
Right.
And that really, really can't help him. He might make some big money, score some touchdowns, get some glory, but personally, I think that's not good for a man, because in the end, we're all common people. You know, we're all the same. We all have the same needs and desires and so forth. So I think that's a tough call, man.
That's
a tough call.
That's so true, Apache. Because, you know, when you look at it, Apache, I mean, it's all about one word as well, discipline, you know. And I always go back, you know, going back to this incident, I don't know if you saw Johnny Football last night, you know, flipping the bird to the Redskins.
No, I didn't. That's serious, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, and it comes down to that one word, discipline. I mean, you got to, you know, the cameras are always on you. You know, when you're on that on that spotlight, you have to realize that you're in that realm. And I understand, you know, coming from some of the backgrounds that these players come from, they don't get it yet. And I think they need, like you said, that mentorship and you know, accountability to be taught to them in many, many regards.
You know, you were interviewing the high school coach that came back.
Carlton Valentine.
The Eastern, and replacing the guy who was there before him. And the guy who was there before him, and he's talking about the shell was empty. Hey, you're not there to win a championship.
Right.
You know, athletics is not about winning championships. I mean, pros, a whole different story, man. I mean, you do what you need to do to make your money and so forth.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why I lose interest after a guy turns pro. And it took me a long time to learn that. You know, the idea that, I didn't have the athlete, something. And it's not about winning, man. It's about, I think Mr. Valentine, man, is an incredible model.
He is.
He's big, he's strong, he's black, he's powerful, he's confident, and he's successful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's a man. And that's what youngsters who are questioning the people of authority, when they see men who can play both sides of that fence, they respect them, man. And they say, you know what, maybe that is a way to go. You know, and
right,
I remember
right.
when I got married, and my wife and I went down to California, Southern California, and we was growing. I mean, I was raising my kids in the hood, and I remember her relative saying that she had married a babysitter. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Dude, I was in training for professional boxing, and they had told her that she had married a babysitter because I was with my kids all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? And today, their kids are in trouble or dead, alcohol, incarcerated. Okay, and they compliment my wife and I on how we raised our kids. So I think the mistake was made that he had to win championships, and hopefully they had made it clear to him that you don't have to win championships. We can't all win championships, you know.
Yeah.
And the downside of Valentine is that when he got a commodity like that, man, how long is he going to stay?
That's true.
That man has a future. That man has a future, and they're always going to be pulling on him and so forth, you know. And so that's the downside of it. But thanks, man. Good topic today, brothers.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Apache. We really always appreciate it. Definitely is always insightful stuff when Apache calls. But, yeah, I mean, he makes great points. And, you know, there's so many factors that weigh in to, you know, just the countless times. And we brought it up here on the show, folks. I mean, the countless, arrest and off-the-field issues that football players, especially in the NFL, have all the time. And, you know, we've had a guest on here. I remember Robert Viney, who was a former MSU football great. And Robert talked about how, as a football player, I mean, you're taught to go out there and be a gladiator, to go out there, be no holds bar, and take somebody's head off. That's how you're raised. That is what you're taught as a football player. You are at war every time you put on that helmet. And to sort of tame that inner beast that is let out the cage on a gridiron, and to put that beast into modern society sometimes can bode much trouble. We've seen it countless times. So there's so many factors that weigh into that. But again, at the end of the day, I do believe that that Brady Hoke definitely made the right decision, and it sends the right message that this type of I guess you can say antics, these type of antics and legal trouble won't be tolerated on this team. So I definitely agree with that. Again, you can weigh in, and just like Apache did, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, we'll hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Johnny Football and talk about his antics against the Washington Redskins yesterday. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. 9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, we have an outstanding week in store for you here on the radio show and TV show. Again, if you're just now tuning in, we'll remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow morning. I'll be sitting down with the newest MSU athletic faculty department representative for the NCAA, Sue Carter. I mean, she's an unbelievable guest. I mean, she's won Emmy. She's been a reporter. I mean, she's been a national commentator for sports. I mean, she's done it all. She's done it all in this industry, and I'm excited to sit down and chat with her and pick her brain. Again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so by signing up online for free by just going to WKAR.org. Also, let's see, I believe on Wednesday, yeah, tomorrow, on the same day, we'll be having Perry Farrell, who's a beat writer for the Detroit Tigers, for the Detroit Free Press. He will join me on the show to talk a little Tigers. The Tigers right now, of course, trying to shake off that series loss, that 2-1 series loss to the Seattle Mariners, with a three-game road series versus the Tampa Bay Rays starting tonight. Max Scherzer, yes, Mad Max is what they call him. He will be on the mound tonight. Hopefully those bats can wake up, ladies and gents, because it's been tough to watch the Tigers. Yes, it's definitely been tough to watch the Tigers during this entire slump. Now they're playing from behind. They're playing from behind now as the Kansas City Royals have a two-game lead in the AL Central. So Perry will join me on the show to talk about the Tigers and what they need to improve on and what they need to do before that panic meter runs out, and we won't be talking about playoffs for the Tigers. Possibly. I don't want to hit that button just yet. But Perry will join me tomorrow. Also, we'll have Dave Burkett. He'll be on the show Thursday. He is a beat writer for the Detroit Lions, for the Detroit Free Press as well, for the Free. Dave Burkett will be joining me on Thursday to talk about how the Lions are preparing and what he's seen from the team thus far as they get ready for the season. I'll tell you, the NFL season is right around the corner. Football, college football is right around the corner next. I mean, I believe a week, you know, next week, I believe it starts. My goodness, just flying by, ladies and gents. And also, Dan Bogan III, just got word from him. Dan Bogan is the head football coach over at Lansing Sexton High School. He is the man, you know, talking about how Apache, you know, he just called in and talked about Carlton Valentine being rehired as the new, returning, I should say, head coach for the Lansing Sexton Big Reds boys basketball team. Dan Bogan made that hire because he's not only the athletic director, but he is also the head football coach. So Dan will be joining me as we next week on Current Sports TV. Next week on Current Sports TV, next week Wednesday at 10 a.m. to talk about the upcoming football season for his Big Reds team. So, again, you can sign up online, folks, if you want to be a part of that studio audience by going to WKAR.org. So a lot going on. It's about to get really, really busy here at Current Sports and around the area as football is right around the corner, ladies and gents. Okay. Well, transitioning now. Talking about off-the-field issues, again, you know, kind of sticking on that. This is an incident that happened on the field, folks. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, if you tuned in to yesterday's game, last night's game, Browns and Redskins, it was on national TV, ESPN broadcasted the game. A lot of eyes on the television for this one, and I'm sure many eyes around this area on the television for this one, because it not only had, Johnny Football playing, going against, RG3 and so on and so forth, but you also had two Spartan quarterbacks also seeing action on the gridiron in Brian Hoyer and Kirk Cousins. So it was certainly entertaining to go out there, and see how, these teams matched up against one another. And Johnny Football, of course, he's certainly a hot commodity, being a Heisman Trophy winner, and the media hoopla that's been surrounding him, from the Justin Bieber parties to the frat parties when he was in college. Now and taking a trip to Vegas and taking selfies and so on and so forth. And the battle now, the QB controversy that has ensued between, again, former Spartan Brian Hoyer and Johnny Football. Now, an incident took place, though, yesterday during that game, again, which was a 24-23 preseason loss for the Cleveland Browns. Johnny Manziel decided, he got frustrated. That's exactly what happened here. He got frustrated, and I guess, diving a little into this game, Ryan Clark happened to be on Mike and Mike this morning. I was checking out the interview. Ryan Clark, of course, being a member of the Washington Redskins defense, he was on the field when this took place, and one of his teammates on the Washington Redskins defense decided to, take a nip if you will, at Johnny Football, saying that, quote, this isn't college anymore, end quote. Johnny Football kind of got fed up after that last completion to end that certain drive during that quarter. And Johnny Manziel decided to flip the bird. He flipped the bird towards the Redskins after the play. That did unfold, again, under the right in front of the Washington Redskins bench as well. So Manziel said he had, he exchanged words with him. And, quote, I felt like I did a good job of holding my composure throughout the night, and you have a lapse of judgment and slip up, end quote. So, this is just bottom line. This is just Johnny Manziel just has to grow up. He has to grow up here, folks. An incident like this, you can't, as a quarterback. Now, I've always praised Johnny Football. Looking at his first few preseason games, I've been praising Johnny Football. If you've been tuning in through, day in and day out here on the show, I've been praising Johnny Manziel because I feel as though he's been very, very poised. Very, very cool, calm, and collected, especially considering the amount of attention and amount of exposure that he's been getting these past few weeks. I mean, everybody has been tuned in to this QB battle between Johnny Football and Brian Hoyer. And Johnny Football, being a rookie coming into this position, it could be very easy for him to kind of fold under the lights and go out and have just terrible outings and kind of relinquish under the pressure. But Johnny Football hasn't done that. I mean, I've been very impressed. And even last night, he seemed very cool, calm, and collected when he was out there playing. But he had a moment here, and this is the NFL. I mean, this is no holds bar. They're going at you. And, trash talking is a part of the game. And the trash talking is a part of sports in general. And he just couldn't handle it, again, somebody on the defense, Redskin defense, yells out, hey, this isn't college anymore, my man. And he kind of flips a wig and decides to flip the bird. You can't do that, Johnny Football. You cannot do that. And, I was listening to, reading a few blogs. I'm big on blogs as well. And just, seeing what the overall fandom feels, in moments like this. And there are many people out there. There are a few people out there, actually, that felt as though he did this on purpose. He brought about unnecessary attention to the ball club. He knew the cameras were on him, and he decided to do it to sort of, make this incident a distraction from his numbers. if you look at both Brian Hoyer and Johnny Football, both of them weren't great yesterday. Both of them weren't, turning your heads at all. Johnny Manziel, if you look at his numbers, he went 7 for 16 for 65 yards and one touchdown. Brian Hoyer, he wasn't great. He went 2 for 6 for 16 yards. So I don't necessarily know if it could have been. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not Johnny Football. Maybe it was a distraction from his numbers. Who knows? But you cannot do that. I mean, as a representative, as a quarterback, as the guy, as the face of a franchise, you have to know that the cameras are always on you all the time. Come on, Johnny. You got to be smarter than that. You got to be smarter than that, especially considering that you're Johnny Manziel. I mean, everybody is watching your every single move. And now you're in this quarterback battle with Brian Hoyer. You can't do things that are going to, tick off the coaching staff. You got to be smarter than that, man. So, now diving into this whole quarterback controversy between Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel, I really think that the coaching staff definitely contributed to this whole fiasco. And the reason I say that is because, Mike Pettine coming out, head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine coming out and saying, hey, we want to know who our starting quarterback is by week 3 of the preseason. It put a deadline on things. It put a deadline on things, and it kind of put pressure on the coaching staff to say, okay, we have to make a decision by this time. All eyes are on that. And, of course, the media is going to flock to that position because it's Johnny Football. I mean, he's highly touted. I mean, looking at the whole draft coverage, it was all about who was going to draft Johnny Manziel. The Cleveland Browns knew what they were getting into by drafting Johnny Manziel. Now it only became eclipsed because Mike Pettine decided to put a deadline on it. Okay, by week 3, okay, who is it now? Everybody's asking, who is the guy? And you've created unnecessary attention on this ball club now. Now, looking at it, this whole battle, diving into the battle now between Hoyer and Manziel. Again, this is just my thoughts on it. Again, you can call in and weigh in on it, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Looking at Brian Hoyer and seeing as though you have a quarterback controversy in the first place, it kind of shows to me that, you know, Brian Hoyer has a lack of development. Because anytime, you know, Brian Hoyer was the guy last year. Before he got injured, you know, looking at, even though it was a small sample size, Brian Hoyer, I mean, when he was in there, he was very, very efficient. You would think Brian Hoyer now coming into this year, that if you are Brian Hoyer, you got this rookie quarterback coming in, you know the playbook, you had a relatively solid year last year before you got injured, you should be far better than Johnny Manziel. It should be no debate that you are the guy, that you are the clear-cut number one guy. It shows me that Brian Hoyer, you know, there's a lack of development there, period, point blank, period. For any guy who's been in a position where, you know, you've had this job, you know, whatever job it may be, you know, not even just talking about sports here. If you are the guy and all of a sudden, you know, a rookie comes in and is giving you competition, you haven't been doing your job. You didn't do anything in the offseason to get better. So, for me, Brian Hoyer, you know, being in the hot seat initially is not a good sign for him winning that job. Now, I do think that Brian Hoyer, when the season starts for the Cleveland Browns, I do think that Brian Hoyer will be the guy. And if you look at the schedule, their schedule doesn't start off, you know, with cupcakes here. You know, you start off by playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who look to be better than last year. Your next game is, I believe, the New Orleans Saints. And then from the Saints, you go and play the Baltimore Ravens. Then you hit a bye. Now, those are three games that you got to bring it. Those are three teams that aren't lollipop teams. These are not daisy teams here. If Brian Hoyer doesn't produce against New Orleans, against Pittsburgh, and against the Ravens, I think you throw Johnny Manziel in there after the bye week and see what he can do. I think you do it. So, and, you know, whatever pick you do, I think you have to make a pick. After those 3 weeks go by at the beginning of the season, you have to pick your man and stick by him. Because at that point, I mean, if you don't know who your starting QB is at that point, I mean, it can have a trickle-down effect. Because, you know, the team rallies behind a leader. And the team wants to know who their leader is. The quarterback position is that leadership position you look to and you look to have a solidified guy at. And if you don't, the players are looking at each other like, okay, what's going on here? And it kind of reminds me of the whole quarterback controversy that went on with Michigan State's football team last year. I mean, players wanted to know who the guy was going to be, and once they knew that Connor Cook was going to be the guy, everybody kind of was able to settle into their roles. And, you know, that attention and that distraction, if you will, kind of went away, and you could just go out there and play football. So at that third week, when that bye hits, if Brian Hoyer is playing well, stick with him. Ride him out. But if there's still some inklings and some inclination that you want to make a change, you make it then. You don't make it after that bye week because it could be disastrous. So, but overall, I think Brian Hoyer is going to be that guy. I could see Johnny Manziel though being the starter after the bye week. I will say that because Hoyer, I mean, looking at his numbers, I mean, he was 2 for 6 last night for 16 yards. He didn't do anything to turn my head. I tell you that. Neither one of them did really, but. You know, and I think that Johnny Manziel could be more accurate. I think he has great poise. And I think both of them, Hoyer and Manziel, dealing with that rush, which the Redskins showed a lot. They didn't impress me with how they deal with the rush. So it's close right now. It's certainly a close race. But I do think Brian will be the starter. So, but how about Kirk Cousins, folks? Kirk Cousins, you know, again, former MSU quarterback. Kirk Cousins looked very, very well. Last night, and outplayed RG3. Let's just call it like it is. I mean, Kirk Cousins went 12 for 21, 145 yards, one touchdown, one interception. But comparing the numbers to RG3, he outplayed RG3. Now, I think right now, and I think many of you probably agree out there right now who are listening, Kirk Cousins could definitely start for many teams in the NFL right now, today, period. Now, he signed to a 4-year contract. He signed that contract, if you remember, May 31st, the end of May, back in 2012 when he came out and declared for the draft. And, you know, Kirk Cousins is a guy, looking at how he was able to put together that one drive that led to a touchdown, it was right on the money. Beautiful, beautiful throw. Kirk Cousins is a guy who's also poised. He's accurate. And the thing I love about Kirk, and you know, that's something you could say about him when he was at Michigan State as well, is that he does not do too much. Kirk Cousins is a guy who sits in the pocket. If there's nothing there, he's smart and he's just going to throw the ball away. He's not going to try to force anything. That's what I love about Kirk Cousins. Even though he did have one interception last night, I mean, overall, his overall body of work was solid. It was arguably the best body of work out of all four of the QBs between RG3, Johnny Manziel, and Brian Hoyer. So, shout out to Kirk Cousins. I think, you know, he will find his way. You know, some NFL team could certainly use his talents right now as we speak. But I think either next year or the year after next, Kirk Cousins will be a starting quarterback in this league. Right now he's just, you know, he's just kind of sitting on the sidelines, you know, playing that backup role for RG3. RG3, again, you know, this could be a comeback season for him, or this could be another disastrous season for him. I'm not sure how much better RG3 has gotten. But I will say this, though, watching that game last night, RG3 has got to learn how to slide. I mean, how many times have I said that about the man? I mean, you would think after, you know, tearing his Achilles and sitting out, you would think he's learned that by now. And he even admitted it yesterday. I mean, he woke up with a bruised thigh this morning after yesterday's game because he took a shot and, you know, appeared to be limping at, you know, after one play yesterday. He knows that, you know, he has to take better care of his body. And, you know, being that dual threat quarterback who can beat you through the air and then can also put it on the ground to beat you, the key to longevity for those type of quarterbacks is knowing when to go down. Knowing when to take that slide and not get tackled and hit hard. So, you know, that'll be the key to his career. I'm not sure how much better he's gotten, though. And, you know, if RG3 hasn't learned that lesson this year and he happens to be hurt, Kirk can go in, you know, and be that guy and possibly could steal his role. I don't know. And that's an extreme, extreme notion. But, hey, it could happen. So we'll see. Only time will tell. All right, folks. Well, 3 minutes left in our show. The Detroit Tigers. Again, they are in action tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. Max Scherzer. And again, this is also a homecoming for David Price. Of course, David Price was acquired in that blockbuster trade that sent David Price from the Tampa Bay Rays to the Detroit Tigers. David Price is sort of a homecoming for him. He will be pitching against his former team. So this should be an exciting series. And this certainly, for me, is a pivotal series for the Tigers to get right back on that track. And the Kansas City Royals, who got hot out of nowhere, my goodness. I mean, again, they have a 2-game lead in the AL Central. And simply for the Tigers right now, the bats have to wake up, folks. The bats have to wake up. They cannot be dead silent here anymore. If you look at it, 2 innings of 5 runs or more. That's it. Since the All-Star break, the Tigers have had 2 innings of 5 runs or more. Folks, they had 7 before the All-Star break. That's ridiculous. And if you look at it, they've batted a dismal, as a team, a dismal 253 since the break. That's not going to get it done. That is not going to win a world championship, folks. And I hope that this has to be a wake-up call for them. And I hope that a sense of urgency now engulfs this team, because right now, folks, it is urgent. It is serious right now, folks. And maybe they need to get away from Detroit. Maybe this is good. Get away from the fans. No more Joe Nathan brushes under the chin, huh? So, all right, folks, we are out of time on today's Current Sports. I want to thank you all out there who decided to tune in to today's show. Again, a fantastic week. We'll be talking Lions tomorrow. We'll be talking Tigers tomorrow. Same time, same place tomorrow, folks. Again, thank you so much. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday afternoon. And, hey, be easy, people.